This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Advertising is hard, and a lot of companies from startups to majors have found out the expensive way that creating and running a screen network that's funded through booked ad spots is no walk in the park. There are lots of programmatic advertising options out there to make access to brand advertising easier for network operators. But a startup called Screenverse is going down a different path, basically saying to a lot of companies that have screens, you focus on what you're truly good at and we'll take over the ad sales and management of your network. So, in the same way that some solutions providers are the outsourced digital signage operating units for companies like QSR chains, Screenverse is doing the sales and related work for companies that happen to have a screen network as part of much larger businesses. A great example would be TouchTunes, which has thousands of digital jukeboxes and bars with screens on them that support booked advertising. Screenverse now runs and sells the ad display side of the business, so TouchTunes can focus on what it's super good at: music content curation, licensing, and overall ops. The company was started by a couple of guys I've known for a long time in this industry, David Weinfeld and Adam Malone. While less than 2 years old, started just in time for a pandemic and the nuclear winter for out-of-home advertising, Screenverse is nonetheless making money and has already done a quasi-acquisition. It recently announced a deal to bring on the sales experience and business ties of the Danaher Group, a boutique media sales group run by Sue Danaher, who many industry people will know from her days running the DPAA. David and I go back to the days when we were consulting partners on the Preset Group. It was terrific to catch up and get a better understanding of how his company fills what is a pretty obvious need in the market for companies that want to monetize the screens in their network, but struggle, or would struggle, trying to run ad sales and media operations within the walls of a company that otherwise knows very little about advertising. David, thank you for joining me. It's been a while since we've caught up. First thing I wanted to ask is what you've been up to, because we've known each other for more than a dozen years, and you've done a few things lately and then, you know, got into starting Screenverse.
Yeah, absolutely. So prior to starting Screenverse, I had been working in different startups, largely in the digital out-of-home and digital signage space. Most immediately, I was at Vistar Media leading their global supply side sales team. And that was an incredible experience, really being able to see across the whole of the landscape, building out their enterprise software business that included their ad server and player software, and building that out in enterprise relationships with companies like Topgolf, Volta, Redbox, Life Fitness. But even as I was doing that and playing on a lot of the experience that I had in the industry, even dating back to our days at the Preset Group, understanding that there continued to be this prevalence of networks that at their core weren't media businesses. And so they might have had thousands of screens in grocery or Walmart stores or in office buildings, but really weren't in a position to maximize the revenue that they could generate. They were seeing success by connecting to an exchange like Vistar, but I just saw so much more potential in the way in which they could monetize those assets. And as I started seeing that, I really got the idea for this vision of the business Screenverse, playing on my time working with you at Preset Group, consulting to major display manufacturers like subsequent to then Samsung and LG and others, but then really looking at the networks that I most enjoyed working with were networks that were just entirely new to the media side of the business. And as you and I both know, and most people listening to the podcast, there are so many stories that we can tell of the digital out-of-home networks that have come and gone, and the skeletons of past networks that otherwise you would have thought, hey, there's a foundation for success here. And sometimes it's the expectation of if you build it, they will come, and the advertisers are just going to knock on our door. And what I've since learned is that's obviously not the case.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and programmatic, though, does open that door to a degree and creates some of that opportunity. But really, Screenverse exists to really blast that door wide open on behalf of our network partners. And so when I left Vistar pre-COVID, it was with a very clear vision of the business that I wanted to start. I was lucky enough to found the business with another great industry professional, and Adam Malone, a friend who I've known for over 10 years. And in doing so, we've built up a company whose entire focus is on ad management and monetization for digital screen networks, and really taking networks like Pursuant Health and their 4,600 screens in Walmart stores nationwide, our partners at Corner Media, TouchTunes, TouchSource, Paramount, Smartify, Spin, and others, and really being able to best package and position their inventory, no matter however a brand or agency wants to transact against it, whether that be through a direct IO or by way of the programmatic channel.
Right. Yeah, it's if you had to do your elevator pitch, you know, the 25 words or less of what all that you do, what would that say? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say that we turn our network operator's side business, which is bringing third-party advertising to their screens, is our main business. So that includes everything from ad operations, media packaging, CPM management, optimization of deal flow, and management of their inventory, both through the direct and programmatic channels, in such a way that's going to maximize the revenue that they see from agencies, brands, and demand side platforms. There are some analogous companies in the digital space. Some of those companies are Inc. 5000's fastest growing company in 2019, company by the name of Freestar, who I really admire the way that they've grown and built their business. Cafe Media, Ad Pushup, these are all examples of companies who exist to really demystify for publishers and companies how to maximize their revenue generation and take advantage of existing technology. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're most certainly not trying to be a supply side platform, but our goal is to be the best possible service layer, leveraging technologies like a Vistar or Place Exchange and others, and being able to, you know, build lightweight technology on top of that, whose entire purpose is to realize greater revenue and greater efficiencies in the sales and ad management process.
Right. So you've got companies who have screens associated with their business for whatever reason, like they're in waiting rooms, or in TouchTunes' case, they have digital jukeboxes that also have screens that you could sell ads on, but it's not their core business. So effectively, they can outsource all of that to you, to people who understand the game, understand the process and everything else, instead of trying to understand that internally and be a skunk works in a business that spends 98% of its time, you know, on other matters, right?
That's exactly right. And what I've seen historically is it's very hard for those types of businesses to hire really strong and capable media salespeople, and for good reason, because they're not media businesses. And so they ultimately are challenged from the outset, whereas it's much better and actually a lot less costly and creates a lot more opportunity and potential against their inventory to bring in a company like Screenverse, where that's our entire focus. I really like to think about companies and their capabilities. What can you be the best in the world at? What is your superpower? Well, our superpower is monetizing digital screens in the physical world. And so if we have companies like TouchTunes who are incredible in building out distributor relationships and building out the largest footprint of digital jukeboxes in the US and globally, or a company like Pursuant Health who has kiosks in every single Walmart store nationwide for blood pressure, BMI assessments, other major health assessments, that's what they're best at the world at. Let us manage the media business and the media side, and especially as programmatic becomes an increasingly important part of the digital out of home landscape, understanding the nuances of that channel and how best to navigate different SSPs and DSPs agencies and the way in which they're transacting, whether direct or programmatic, becomes really important. Mm-hmm. And it ensures that their inventory is getting in front of the right buyers and that they're seeing the greatest value from their inventory. And by packaging partners together, we're able to create some really unique audience segments such that, you know, by itself, a network might not have the scale to get the attention of a major brand like a Starbucks or a Unilever, mm-hmm. but together, complemented with other assets and other inventory, it tells a complete story.
Right. So a digital out-of-home network in something like, let's say, waiting rooms or whatever, they could do direct sales themselves, but they're going to have to hire people to do that. They could get a rep shop, but it's they rep all kinds of things that might not even be digital. Or they could think that they could just use programmatic, but the reality is programmatic's not going to fill their inventory, right? So you need to kind of have this hybrid, and you either do it internally or you go to somebody like your company, right?
That's exactly right. And there are a lot of companies who really media or being ad supported is their core focus. So you have companies like doctor's offices, Patient Point, or you have companies in gym, Zoom Media, right? Those are not our target partners, right? Because they already have in-house sales teams. The entire business is built on how do I monetize those assets? Mm-hmm. But we really look at companies that otherwise might be in similar environments. So we have a partner in a company called TouchSource that is one of the largest providers of office building directories and screens in major healthcare offices to the tune of 10,000 screens nationwide, mm-hmm. who their superpower is building out these great solutions and interactive experiences and managing tenant databases and directory user experiences. But there is an advertising opportunity there, and one that in order for them to hire an in-house sales team and think through all the nuances of how do they marry that against their existing business, is we formed a partnership with TouchSource such that we can really manage and own that and act as a consultative partner. And we certainly work together to strategically think about which screens within their overall portfolio of 10,000 make the most sense to bring third-party advertising to. And we're not recommending or saying that, hey, our expectation is to light up advertising on all 10,000, but we are in the process and you know, we're at 100 buildings today, but our expectation is to be in the not too distant future at 1,000 buildings. But 1,000 buildings, you're talking about a network that has multi-million dollar media sales potential in a post-COVID right. environment, and one that otherwise would have struggled to access those dollars even by just connecting to programmatic pipes like a Vistar Media or a Place Exchange. You still need people, even though it's technology based and they're automated workflows, you still need people to manage these systems. Yeah. And there are still relationships at the core of the transactions that happen. And so that's really what we say of, hey, there's an opportunity to connect to an exchange and gather low level dollars. But do you understand CPM? Do you understand the dynamics of the demand and supply within the ecosystem and what the competitive landscape looks like? And all of a sudden, we become not as a cost center to a business, but we, you know, kind of realize success in partnership with our network operators such that it hopefully is an easy decision for them to work with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, it's been interesting to listen to this because I admittedly didn't fully understand what Screenverse did, but now I do. And one of the reasons I understand it is I've lived it. Years and years ago, I started a network in the pedestrian corridor system underneath downtown Toronto. There's like miles and miles and miles of walkways with retail down there and everything, and hundreds of thousands of people. Great media environment in a lot of ways. But this is 2003, 2004, and people didn't get it. So I needed professional salespeople to do that for me. And I tried doing partnerships with companies who were already in digital out of home. And while they understood the pattern and everything else, they just weren't fully invested in it because they had their own product to sell. And this was the at my media avails where the, oh, by the way, at the end of a meeting, and we have this thing too. I'm not quite sure what it is, but are you interested? No. Okay. Bye. Yeah. It just didn't work. You need somebody who's focused.
Absolutely. It's really where opportunity meets execution and the understanding, and we're entering an environment, and thanks to programmatic, and I really, you know, especially the more time that I've spent on the demand side, I have much greater appreciation for the work that Michael Provenzano and the earliest employees at Vistar did in, frankly, building out the programmatic market. Mm-hmm. But now that they have, and now that it's much more robust and it's still in its early innings, there is an opportunity for networks like that to get access to dollars that they otherwise would have been challenged to, but to do it entirely on your own and not understand the kind of advanced capabilities or options that are available to you is essentially leaving dollars on the table. And programmatic is all about minimizing loss and maximizing gain. And so if you can be in a position where you can bring in the right partner, and again, we're a partner who we don't physically own any screens. We haven't invested capital in building out screens, so we don't have interest that could otherwise be muddied by bringing on additional networks.
You don't have that ball and chain.
Yeah, we really don't. We curate the partners that we work with. We say mm-hmm. many more no's than we do yeses. And it's really important that we think about how they fit within our portfolio, not just in the near term, but the long term, and how our sales team, frankly, we can be successful on their behalf. Because the last thing I would ever want to do is set unrealistic expectations, which I think can very easily happen, not just in this industry, but really any media space of, yep. Well, I have this many millions impressions, it equates to this media value, so I should generate, you know, $1 million a month. And it goes, well, that's nice on paper, and it's nice when you build out projections, but the reality tells a very different story. And one of the things that, you know, myself, Adam, our team prides ourselves on is being very open and transparent with our partners and setting very clear expectations of this is what we believe your network is worth. This is what we believe that we can deliver in terms of value. And it's our hope to far exceed those numbers, but we also don't want to go into a relationship where the numbers far outweigh what we think the market can bear. We do have very high hopes and are as optimistic as I think anyone in this space around where digital out of home can grow and what it can become in the media mix. But the reality is that programmatic is still a small part of overall mm-hmm. digital out of home spending. It's sub 10%. It's more around 5-6% of overall spending. And thanks to COVID, an industry and out of home in the US that was approaching $9 billion got knocked down to between $6 and $7 billion and is fighting mm-hmm. its way back. But I've long believed that in order to unlock the greater demand and revenue that should be coming into out of home in general, it's going to be by way of digital buyers. It's going to be by way of buyers who understand that by layering in contextually relevant digital play space, like with a partner of ours, The Bulletin, who are in high-rise residential apartment buildings in major cities in the U.S., layering that with targeted campaigns, it's hard to beat for a D2C brand like a GoPuff or a Fresh Direct or an Uber Eats. But mm-hmm. right now, they're not really thinking about that within their total strategy. That, of course, incorporates Facebook and Google and Instagram and connected TV. And so if we can get any access to those budgets, we should become a much more important and credible part of the total media landscape.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Is there a distinction between endemic and non-endemic advertising at this point, or is it all just like data flags?
We really think about it on a network-by-network and kind of category of venues standpoint. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. with a network like TouchTunes and, you know, by way of our acquisition of the Danaher Group and bringing on incredible talent in the form of Susan Danaher, former DPAA president, CRO at AdSpace, now Lightbox, VP or SVP at Viacom, Victor Germain, who was a VP at Screen Vision and major sales leader at GSTV, and bringing those individuals into our business. But their specialization and where they really focused their energy were on vice categories, naturally, like beer and alcohol, who are endemic brands through the bar and restaurant category, just as much as you might say for an office building network, that would be kind of B2B financial services, or a retail-based network. Endemic brands are much more CPG focused, but we do see also across all categories, because we see a lot of otherwise, you know, non-endemic spend from insurance companies and others that you might not immediately connect with a bar and restaurant environment, but who make a ton of sense, just the nature of the audience. So it really depends upon the brand and agency and what their objectives are. If their objective is to really be where the product's sold, well, that's mm-hmm. why we do a lot of business with Anheuser-Busch and Heineken and Molson Coors. But if you're also thinking about a brand that has a relationship by category adjacency or just reaching that audience, so think about any of the brands like Uber or Lyft advertising in a bar or restaurant, or a brand like USAA advertising in a Walmart location. The product itself isn't sold there, but certainly the constituency that they're looking to reach, that they target by way of other channels, are very present in those environments. And so we have a mix, but it really speaks to how we position different networks. And the reality is, when you undertake a business like Screenverse, you end up having networks across a variety of categories. And it's our then responsibility and job to figure out how best to package and curate that, not just for ourselves, but for the market at all. So we're not just going to an agency and presenting a disparate menu of offerings, but we understand their client mix. We understand the way in which they buy and what their objectives are. So we might just say, hey, for the types of brands that you represent and the fact that you're looking to reach a millennial audience, then you're best suited reaching them in bars and restaurants, or reaching them in high-rise apartment buildings in cities like Chicago, New York, and DC, versus a brand like USAA that's looking to reach a much broader population across, the entire country. And that's where you start pushing them into inventory, like in Walmarts or grocery stores or convenience stores, where they can segment potentially against an older demographic or certainly a broader segment of the overall population.
So if I did a spreadsheet exercise of cost of taking ad sales and media operations in-house versus outsourcing to Screenverse, how is that going to look? Is it going to be more cost to do it internally, or more cost to do it through you guys?
Yeah, so we actually, in many cases, do this modeling with our partners, and it's definitely going to be more cost internally to make that happen. But the other aspect is, even if the model shows that it might be less costly by way of, okay, if I hire three people, I can build up this sales organization, you have to look at it and say, what is the success you're going to yield?
Yeah.
And that, to me, is even more important than just doing a cost exercise of saying, all right, I'm going to need two senior sellers and an ad operations person to build up any type of sales business unit. Mm-hmm. But that alone isn't really going to be successful. And do those individual sellers, it's not an easy thing to find people that know the digital out of home space and know how best to navigate out of home agencies and digital agencies. And are they going to be equipped to really tell a story that's large enough to get your network noticed? But that's also why we look to have our model based on success, such that we're not a hard and fast cost against the business at the outset, but we see success when our partnership sees success. So ours is really a percentage of revenue-based model, such that it's not, hey, you need to make this large upfront investment. It's, we actually believe as much as you do in the potential of this, and we're going to invest a lot of time and energy up front to get our team trained up on the inventory, to package the inventory, to leverage our relationships across the industry to tell your story. And activate you on programmatic platforms if you haven't done so, help you build out those integrations if you don't yet have them. And so there's a lot of nuances in that, but I would look really to what's the totality of success that a network could realize trying to go it on their own versus trying to partner with a company like Screenverse. And what we found with a lot of those partners is it becomes a very large challenge to try to do it on their own. And I give everyone the absolute best of luck. And I support any network that wants to build out their own sales team and thinks that if it's core to your business and you can be the best at the world at selling your inventory, then you absolutely should be the ones to do it. But if it's something you're trying to do on the side and it's really not part of your brand value, it's not part of your overall culture or overall story, I've seen that very hard and it feels like an extra appendage that doesn't necessarily fit within a company. What we can do is say, hey, we're going to be here and consult you. You don't need to, you know, worry about becoming experts in this because guess what? We're thinking about this day in and day out, hour after hour, and we're going to meet with you regularly. We're going to provide you updates. We're going to demystify the industry in a way that I'm hopeful that, hey, even if we have a network relationship where after 2 or 3 years, they go, you know what? You've helped us so much. We've actually now had the confidence and belief that we can do this in-house. I still see that as a successful outcome because we delivered on the promise of helping them grow their business. I, of course, you know, would love to be with our partners for 10 plus years and really build out the highest level of success. But if they decide to bring that in-house after we've helped them level up their understanding and connections with the industry, that's successful.
Everything you said is so spot on, and I wanted to say something about cultural fit, and you did, just because I've seen that as well, where you see a media operation bolted onto the side of a very traditional company, and I've watched it play out, and it almost never works, just because, you know, they're, as one person described it, we're the land of misfit toys. You know, you just don't fit.
Well, what's funny too, and I look at it this way, and I wake up every day energized by trying to change this mindset. But even if you look at out of home overall, so out of home is a marginalized part of the media industry overall. It's really, you know, kind of occupies sub 5% total media spend when you look across all channels. Then within out of home, digital out of home is the minority of revenue. That's certainly changing and shifting in the US and other parts of the world. But then within digital out of home, digital place-based is very much the marginalized aspect and is looked at as a subcategory, knowing that digital billboards take up a lion's share of dollars. And so I wake up every single day excited because I say, hey, I'm in the area that, you know, is that diamond in the rough that has the greatest potential that is maybe being undervalued and underutilized.
I'm not in newspapers.
But it's growing. And it's in an area that I so believe in its efficacy and value. And there's so many studies and so many data points that I know you've read and the readers of your blog that you've published that people have talked about on this podcast of the efficacy of marrying digital out of home with mobile, with social, with connected TV. I just believe in my heart of hearts, and I know it's taken longer in many cases than a lot of people have expected, but I so directly believe that once more people start seeing those studies and realizing the results for themselves and leaning into the space, and thanks to programmatic and DSPs like The Trade Desk and Verizon Media and Amobee and Adelphic and Ubimo and others leaning in and ushering those digital buyers that have access to larger budgets into our space, that's really what's going to drive a sea change. And that's what I wake up each and every day knowing, hey, we're nowhere near where we need to be or where we can be, even as a company or as an industry overall. But boy, if I can be part in any way, shape, or form of ushering that forward for, you know, my team, my partners, the industry overall, that's what drives me, because I look at it as if we can bring more revenue to a company that otherwise looked at advertising as, you know, this headache or this is a tough thing to manage, but all of a sudden by working with us, they're seeing seven figures of revenue and they're much confident with understanding, right? Mm. It can be hard when you look at programmatic and you see, you know, peaks and valleys of revenue and disparate spend come through, and it can be very confusing. But once you have someone that can walk you through the dynamics of how people are going in and spending and how we build deeper relationships with them and what's happening in direct, well, now all of a sudden you're part of a business that, you know, maybe you're not driving the car, but you're a much more confident passenger. Mm-hmm. And when you're a much more confident passenger, the great news there is you're much more willing to then make investments and build out your network and build out your infrastructure. And ultimately that benefits the networks, it benefits the advertisers, it benefits the SSPs, it benefits the DSPs. And that's what really drove me to start this business, and why when I was at a company in this space like Vistar that was innovating and driving change and was very successful, that I just felt this push that there was an opportunity that someone with my background and experience and with Adam and now bringing on Susan Danaher and Victor Germain and our larger team and the expertise that each of them bring to the table, that we have the opportunity to really build a company that has staying power, that can ultimately bring an enormous amount of value and also create some efficiencies for SSPs or create efficiencies for networks that they otherwise might have been challenged to find on their own.
Are you bootstrapped?
So we've raised a small friends and family pre-seed round of just around $400,000. But actually we've been, we were profitable in 2020. We officially incorporated the business at the end of April in 2020. We were profitable in 2020. We're profitable today. And, you know, really we're thinking about, all right, what does raising funding against this business look like? And we look at it not as a requirement, but as a mechanism to accelerate growth. I mean, the most important pillars of our business are great people and great network partners.
Right. So the deal you did with Sue Danaher, that would be, I you know, call it an acquisition. It's probably more like a joint venture sort of thing in a lot of ways, because obviously you're not, you couldn't buy them out in the traditional sense of a private equity deal or something.
Yeah, so I would definitely categorize it as more of an acqui-hire. And so really being able
That's a new
to,
term.
Yeah. Really being able to bring those individuals in-house, of course, thanks to our growth and thanks to the revenue that we build, our equity has value. So there's definitely, you know, mechanisms within our partnership that involve that. And so that the Danaher Group team that's now joined with Screenverse can participate in the success and growth. And that's really ultimately how we were able to, you know, put that together. And it was on the back of getting to know Sue for many years in this industry and really aligning on the vision. I had such admiration for the business she had built at the Danaher Group and the importance of the relationship that she and Victor and their operations lead Taylor had with Touchtune, so much so that they were truly an extension of that company. And I said, well, that's so much in line with the vision that we have for the partnerships that we form on the supply side at Screenverse. And we would love to bring your leadership, your knowledge, your experience into our business. And oh, by the way, we get an incredible network in the form of Touchtunes, and we can just have that part of our overall growth. And at a time where bars and restaurants have been challenged in light of COVID, but now that we're starting to come out and restrictions have all but been eased across the entire US, Los Angeles and California was kind of the final metropolitan area that had any restrictions on bars that have since been lifted, and really say, hey, bars and restaurants are hopping right now. And so if I'm going to double down on any piece of inventory, it's going to be in that segment. And if I'm going to double down on talent, it's going to be with people like Sue Danaher, Victor Germain, and Taylor and that team and their knowledge. And so much of what they bring into our business really is fueling growth, not just against TouchTunes, but against all of our partners. And as we bring on additional sales directors, as we bring on additional operations team members, it's really all geared toward how do we maximize success for the network partners that we work with, and how do we ultimately build campaigns that are going to drive tangible results for those brands such that they continue to invest not just in us, but in digital out of home and digital place based in general.
All right, David, that was terrific. We could have talked a lot longer, but I'm afraid we got to wrap this up. Great to catch up with you.
Yeah, it was absolutely great to catch up with you, Dave. You're someone who I have absolutely, you know, in the past loved working with, who I have such great respect for in this industry. Thank you for having me on the podcast, and, you know, really look forward to being able to continue having these conversations and sharing the growth story of Screenverse with you and your audience.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.